This is not the first time you've done this. You're coming in to take over in a radio station again.
Why, in, sit down, shut up, and hold on. Oops, no, it's not the House of Hair. It's no, Neanderthal Show.
D. Snyder.
KB.
Look at you back in the Valley. First of all, let me just say this. Thank you for all the national love you give our radio station every week on the House of Hair.
Hey, you know what? It is easy. This is the honest truth. We could easily just do requests from KDKB.
Really?
Only. The whole show, I mean, is such an outpouring from you guys every week. But we got to, like, share the love a little bit on other stations. So, but every week, there's at least two or three that we play from you guys.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. Dee Snyder from Twisted Sister and, of course, The Celebrity Apprentice and so many other things in town tonight to sign his brand-new book, Shut Up and Give Me the Mic. You are the only guy, the only musician that has been able to pull off, I think Alice has done a great job as well, but the only guy that's been able to pull it off over a prolonged period of time, the only musician that's been able to make the transition to radio and make it work.
Well, yeah, first of all, yeah, I mean, no, don't steal my thunder with Alice or anybody else. I mean, you know, all props to those guys, but I've been doing it almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
I've done mornings successfully. I've done nights successfully. I've been to the syndicated show, 220 stations, House of Hair. So give me that little moment.
Oh, no, I'm mad at you.
Then Mamo says, D, and then there's Alice and those other guys over there. But D, I think I'm the only rock guy to really do it.
You were the guy that pulled out. Ted Nugent tried it.
And he did successfully mornings for a while. Matter of fact, when I went to mornings, I called Ted.
Did you really?
I called Ted and said, hey, dude, you know, you've done mornings. Any advice or whatever? And, you know, he gave me some pointers or whatever. So he did it well for a while in Michigan. Actually.
And then Kevin Dubrow did it in Vegas for a while.
In Vegas, yeah.
The late Kevin Dubrow. Well.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people do it. You know, there's this assumption that because you're on stage in a band that you can do radio,
right?
And it's not bragging, but at all, it's respect for people who do radio. It's another talent.
Do you see how I made that about us?
Yes.
How I made it about us, and yes. Less about you, more about us.
It is about us. You see that? So, but it is another talent. So it's, you can't just assume. Just like I wrote my own book.
Yeah, now you wrote your own book.
Entirely.
You're not a ghostwriter.
No ghosts.
Okay.
No co-writer. 99% of the books you read are written by a co-writer or ghostwriter, and that's not pointing fingers at anybody else, because writing is another gift. Fortunately, I'm kidding.
You're gifted.
I'm gifted. You know, his mind's bigger and longer than everybody else's too.
I actually just finished reading Zach Wilde's book, and some people shouldn't be given a pen.
Well, but again, it's, you know, but I can't play guitar.
Right.
You know what I mean? So everybody can't do everything.
Right.
And I've been blessed in a lot of ways that I have developed other talents besides performing and singing in a band. And
wait a minute. You know, did you just tell me everybody can't do everything? You, the guy who's a singer, songwriter, actor, reality TV star, entrepreneur,
voiceover
expert.
I just optioned my, movie writer. Yes.
Yeah, you did the Strange
thing.
You know, Captain Howdy. Yeah, so you don't, what talent have you left?
Actually, pretty much none.
Right.
Okay, but I'm going to say, kids listening at home, no drugs, no alcohol.
Big
I
in Snyder. Big I in
think
Snyder.
There's no I in Snyder. Actually, there is. It's for idiot. No, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. Is it the brain cell count that I've got going on here from not doing drugs and drinking? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying I think I've benefited from it.
Yeah, for those people that don't know that, Dee Snyder has been with his wife since 1981. He's not a drinker. Like, there's no horror story other than, obviously, the horrible decisions made toward the end of the 80s with Twisted Sister that resulted in some other things that have gone on. But other than that, there's no bad story. Nobody has a bad story to tell about Dee Snyder or any of the guys in Twisted Sister, to be honest with you.
No, we don't. I'm a very different rock star than the typical one, and my book is very different as well. It's not there's plenty of sex, drug, rock and roll books out there,
right?
Plenty. You know, you're gonna, if you're looking for that, they're there. My book is about my rise and fall, about a 9-year-old kid with a dream who makes it to the top and then blows it. And
yeah,
I
you
crash
did
crash and burn. By 93, I am flat broke. Okay, I start the book, and if you've read it, in a parking lot, in the rain, flying cars so my wife can do hair and makeup for weddings on weekends. I am penniless, and I'm running from the catering hall security, not because I'm afraid to go to catering hall jail. They don't have those, I found out.
Oh, good.
But I'm afraid they're going to recognize me if they catch me because I've got, I'm the Jay Leno of heavy metal. I've got this face that people recognize. And I'm afraid they're going to say, Dee, what are you doing here? What happened to you? So I wanted to tell that story because at a time where people are going through tough times, people are falling down. Maybe you weren't a rock star. That doesn't matter. We all fall down. And I just want to share that intimacy with people and say, it's okay, man. You know, if you got some people that are there with you to stand by you and you're willing to get back up and try again, it can work out. You just got to get back up.
The book is called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic. Now, I want to get into this part, too, because there's a second part. There's another part of Dee Snider that people aren't aware of. First of all, most people don't realize you're actually a classically trained tenor?
Countertenor.
Countertenor, which That's is where, what? What is that?
It's like a male soprano.
Okay.
It's where you take your falsetto voice that men have.
The one that Axl Rose no longer has.
Yeah, and I don't have either. But you train it to be so strong, and you eliminate the break between your regular voice where you change over.
Right.
Normally people have like a little crack in their voice.
Right.
And it's just perfectly smooth, and you can utilize the entire like 4 or 5 octave range. So you become like a male soprano.
Right.
And that's what I was at 18 and 19.
And now you are what?
A castrati. I had my penis removed, and I keep it in a jar by the door.
Absolutely.
Who is it for? All the lonely people. No, I'm still a tenor, but I'm a torched, singing, guy now.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had again, you're not a drinker or a drugger, but it sounds like you've had one whiskey too many.
It sure does, don't it?
Yes, it does.
But it's great for voiceovers.
What voiceovers would we know Dee Snider as? Are you doing like national stuff that people know?
Yeah, I mean, well, now, most recently, if your kids have Disney XD, there's a new cartoon series called Motor City.
Right.
And I play the Duke of Detroit. I'm the bad guy.
Really?
It's sort of, and the character's a mix between James Brown, David Lee Roth, and Kid Rock. Real psychotic.
Nice.
Real rock. And I came in for like one episode. And they like, these are the people who do Metalocalypse.
Right.
It's the same people that produce that. And I did one episode and they were like, dude, you're like on every week now. So I'm like, I'm the full-time bad guy on Motor City. So your kids can watch that and be corrupted.
You've come a long way since the scraggly-haired guy on Capitol Hill with the folded-up notes.
Yeah.
Now you're just like Ice Cube. Ice Cube is now doing Disney movies as well.
I know.
Back when you guys were dangerous,
Right. Ice Cube. Okay, we've got Ice-T and Ice Cube. Okay, which one's from NWA?
Ice-T. Well, no, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Ice-T is the other one.
You know, I remember.
I failed.
We were doing, you failed. You're a rocker, man. You're not supposed to know these things. That was a test. You passed. But when I was doing Strangeland, we wanted to get Ice Cube to play the part of the police captain.
No kidding.
And he said, I don't play cops.
Right.
There was a mother effer after it, but I don't play cops.
No kidding.
And now he's playing a cop on TV, and I saw him in a movie as a cop, 21 Jump Street. He was a cop. So, things change, and you're holding something that's evidence thereof in your hand
as we speak. You've dressed like a transvestite for the better part of 40 years. You might as well make the transition.
Smile when you say that, Paul.
you might as well make the actual transition to Broadway. Can we play something from Dee Does Broadway, which in a former life might have meant something completely different?
All right, yes. Can I explain?
Sure, explain. But, go explain yourself.
Let me explain. First of all, double entendre, fully intended.
Right.
Secondly.
Nice alliteration, by the way, as well.
Yes. Secondly. Yeah, that's nice. Secondly, three words I never thought I would hear in sequence. Not in the same sentence, like maybe paragraphs separated. Oh, there's the word Dee, there's Does, and Broadway.
Nice.
But the way it came about, interestingly enough, was a series of phone calls between me and Alice Cooper.
Oh, hold on a second. You got to get the name drop. We'll give you that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I dropped because he's a hometown boy. He's your boy.
No, and you're the guy. Well, first of all, we need to clear this up, and not to make this on another tangent, ADD radio, but everybody.
Look, a squirrel.
Everybody wants to give Rob Zombie the credit. Everybody wants to give Marilyn Manson the credit and some of these other guys. Dee Snider was the next logical progression from Alice Cooper. You were the guy that took it the next guy that he handed the baton to.
Oh, yeah. Literally.
That guy.
And in you'll see in my book, I talk about a concert down in Florida where Manson told me he was in the audience there, just a starry-eyed little kid going, yeah, this is what I got to do. So, so we were in there. But so Alice was doing that Christmas pudding thing.
Right.
This was like 2009, I'm thinking.
Okay.
And he asked me to do it. And that's when I was in town last, I think, for that. I don't know if I came in here. Anyway, so Alice says, we're leaving phone messages. And I'm not sure who did it first, but I'm pretty sure it's Alice. I start singing his phone message to a show tune. So then I call back, and I can do it. Hey, Alice, please call me. Please pick up the phone. So it's going back and forth for a few calls. And then finally we talk. I said, dude, we should do Alice and Dee Do Broadway. And he's like, that's pretty cool because we both like Broadway stuff. So we actually went in the studio with Bob Kulick, who you guys may know, the Kulick Brothers. He's right. A Grammy Award-winning producer. And we did Luck Be a Lady together. No, he's not on this record. We demoed it. It came out great. But at the time, we're like, we're doing other things. Not now. Cut to a year later, I'm on Broadway starring in Rock of Ages. And I'm like getting reconnected to the whole Broadway thing. And I grew up in a household where Broadway show tunes were being played a lot. No, I don't have two dads. Nothing wrong with it, but no, I just had.
But you do have a brother in the record industry.
Yes, I do, Mark. But we were taking the shows when we were a kid. I was just surrounded with Broadway music, and I was rocking. So I said, you know what? I can rock this stuff. I hear the rock in this stuff. And Alice said, man, I'm working on Welcome to My Nightmare too. I said, well, I'm doing it without you. So Dee Does Broadway was born. With that, you think I'm insane? Listen to the ballad of Sweeney Todd from Dee Does Broadway on 93.3 KDKB.
Ooh.
Here's another phrase you never thought you'd hear. I'm going to go buy a Broadway show tunes record. How great is that? 93.3 KDKB, the one and only Dee Snider, singing The Legend of Sweeney Todd from his Dee Does Broadway CD. Now, will people be able to pick this up, at like book signings and stuff? Well, you're going to go down to Changing Hands in Tempe a little bit later on tonight to sign. Now, is the CD available?
I don't know, because some, I don't want to talk about their competitors, but some stores carry CDs as well, but I've been in bookstores that don't carry them, so I don't know.
Can they order this off your website?
Yeah, Amazon, it's all over the place. I won't say it's all over the place, because I don't know who's going to buy this, where's going to sell it. Somebody tweeted me, they said, Dee Does Broadway, sell out. I wrote back, Dee Does Broadway, career suicide. I mean, it's not like there's a long line of people waiting to do show tunes,
Right.
So, but people are, the reaction's been really strong to it, actually. And if you really want to get the method to my madness, I have a new video. The best thing I've done since the 80s is from Mac the Knife.
Somebody posted that on my Facebook page a little bit earlier. I have to
take 3 minutes. It's funny. It's entertaining. There's some surprise people. Mike Portnoy's on drums. Slim Jim. Lee Rocker on upright bass. There you go.
Nice.
I'm going to see if I can drop any more. Oh, you wouldn't know the other names. But anyways.
Were they all Long Island boys?
Well, they're all in the New York area. And I asked them, how about you guys do any Foxy Shazam on this show?
The Foxy Shazam guys are great.
I love Foxy Shazam. Eric Nally, the singer, is in the video.
You know, the funny thing about it is Eric is like the most mild-mannered kid when you meet him off stage. Then he gets on stage and it is on. He's a completely different kid.
That band makes me feel like a kid again watching them. I've got three T-shirts. I've given away 10 of their albums to people.
Nice.
Just gifted. And I've seen them twice in clubs. And I'm like in there in the crowd and people turn and go, dude, aren't you? I'm like, shh, quiet. Foxy's on stage.
Let's get these commercials out of the way. We need to talk more because I want to ask you, this is a question I want you to ponder over the next 6 minutes, why music sucks? 93.3 KDKB, Dee Snider's in studio.
Black Sabbath on 93.3 KDKB. Yeah! Dee Snider in the studio with Neanderthal.
You know what's funny is you have, we had just a moment here that people don't understand what goes on in radio. You being a radio guy, a very accomplished radio guy, 20-something years now with the House of Hair, Saturday nights at 9 here at KDKB. But we just had one of those moments, like when you think about things that you're getting into when you get in the radio business, you don't think that during the time the commercials are playing, you're going to sit down and watch a video with Dee Snider of him doing a cover of Mac the Knife. Like, it's such a weird moment that just took place here in the studio. And the weird, no cameras. It's like hitting a hole in one. Nobody saw that happen.
The hole in one eye. Oh, look who walked in. Yeah.
Yeah, Dom is here. He's here in the studio.
I just sat in Dom's new ride. It's pretty sweet.
It's better than the other ride. Last time you were here in town, we sent Hippie Dom from the morning show. He wasn't with the morning show at the time, but we sent him to come pick you up. I think he was driving like a Mazda Miata.
What was that thing?
Del Sol.
It was a Honda Del Sol.
Honda.
Which I believe is of the soul.
You know, I think that a celebrity...
Of your stature.
I'm going to say we assess our status by how we are treated. But when we go someplace,
right.
I arrive in Phoenix thinking I'm here, I'm home. I mean, this is KDKB.
Right.
I love me here. And Dom shows up in this beater,
right,
Honda del Sol. I mean, actually, apologies to beaters everywhere. And it was the most unbelievable thing. And he's driving me around town. I'm going, I really have fallen. I mean, I didn't put that in my book. I should.
You should.
I'll be in the next one.
What will the follow up be?
Oh, shut up and give me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the follow up will be.
Shut up and give me the Tony.
But the book only goes to 93, really.
Really?
So yeah. So it goes from like when I decided to be a rock star in 1964 to 93, and then there's been a lot of years and excitement going on in recent years. You know, I've done things I never thought I would do. More than D does Broadway or write a book, but be on Broadway, be in a movie, be on a television show. I'm on a new sitcom Holliston. Do you guys get Fearnet in these here parts, the horror channel?
I don't know. I probably have it on the dish.
Yeah, DirecTV's got it.
Yeah, I get it on DirecTV.
And we did our first season. We're up for another season. You know, so there's tons of surprises. I wrote a musical now.
What's the musical?
Twisted
about?
Christmas, the musical.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people don't realize, we do this every Christmas now since you put the CD out. We play the Twisted Christmas tunes because everybody's tired of hearing the same old stuff. So we thought we would have Dee Snider and did the Twisted Sister take on the amazing Christmas carols.
Well, I wrote using the music of Twisted Sister, some new stuff, and the Christmas music, I wrote a musical called Twisted Christmas, the musical. It's about a heavy metal band who, in a last-ditch effort to find fame and fortune, sell their souls to the devil, but find them. So, and I just had it optioned by a Broadway producer, the ones who do Memphis, Ghost, and a ton of other shows. So we're in developing Twisted Christmas for Broadway.
So now we can call you Broadway playwright Dee Snider.
Gentle there. Once it gets up there. But yeah, technically I am, I guess.
All right. I want to turn the Wayback Machine on for a second. 13 years ago, you and I were on the same radio station in New Orleans, and you were talking about the development of a TV show that you wanted to do. Now, this was before the Osbournes happened. This was before Gene Simmons' Family Jewels. I remember the name of this. It was going to be called Rock the House.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be about a washed-up rock star, or a guy who's come to a career crossroads, a lifestyle crossroads, where he's wanted to be a normal guy, no longer wants to be the rock star, and decides that he's going to adopt all of his illegitimate children that he knows about through paternity insurance, paternity suits, and it was going to be a sitcom. This is long before that. I would like, now that I'm in my 40s and a washed-up radio host, would like to officially throw my hat in the ring. It's an election year. Officially throw my hat in the ring for that show when it gets made. If not, I can be the creepy brother that didn't make it. Can I do one of those roles?
No, there's actually a better role for you. It was of the ex-roadie.
Okay.
Who now lives in the guest house.
I'll be that guy.
And he's just sort of like, because he wasn't washed up, my guy. He wasn't, he was Rachel Savage. He wasn't from Sweet Savage. He wasn't washed up. He just decided, I'm going to be a normal dude.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm going to live life as a normal dude. And he doesn't know what normal is. But no, that won't see the light of day, though, because I had it optioned.
So I could have the role if it would ever be made.
Yes.
But it's never going to be
yours.
Made.
It's yours. I'll put your name down on it.
Thanks.
But it was optioned years ago and didn't happen. And that's another thing, people. You know, there's an old saying, not an old saying, but that Babe Ruth was one of the greatest home run hitters of all time, but he also was a strikeout king.
Right.
Meaning he swung at the ball more than other people. Okay, so I've had a lot of failed projects, too. For every project that works, I've got about 10 that didn't work.
Right.
But it's just a matter of just keep swinging until something happens. You know?
Who's had more projects pitched, you or Gene Simmons? Because Gene Pitt will throw anything at the wall.
Let me tell you something. Gene Simmons,
as soon as you say his name, the cash register rings.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Okay, good for this.
I'd like to say to you, Gene, to you, Dee, you're a very handsome and powerful man.
Nice. That's very good. Well, let me tell you something, Paul. I agree. You are handsome, but you owe me a royalty because Kiss invented everything. Elvis owes Kiss. I want to dig up his body and put him in a Kiss coffin and collect royalties. No, I saw Gene. I did the black carpet.
Right.
At the Golden Gods Awards.
Nice.
Two great Gene moments. Okay. And people just know. I own like the first five Kiss records.
Right.
I stood in front of a mirror singing God of Thunder. Okay. So this is a fan, but still,
Right.
He's really pushing it.
I know.
Okay? So I'm on the carpet.
This is what I love about D. D doesn't care. He'll take the gloves off. It's not like he cares. He doesn't care if... So say what you want,
so D. So Gene rolls up, and he just stares at me. We're both wearing sunglasses. It's nighttime.
At night.
And Gene, with the family, his family's there, Shannon, everybody. And so he just stares at me. This is TV. So I go,
I know.
So are we going to talk?
That's what you said to him?
Yeah. He goes, D, tell me why we're both wearing sunglasses at night. And I said, so people don't know how old we really are? And Shannon just goes, and he goes, no, because when you're cool, it's always sunny out.
What
the hell does that even mean?
What?
That's Gene for you. And then the second Gene moment, he came out on stage to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he says, some people think I do it for the money, the cars, the women, the houses, the summer houses, the lifestyle. But I don't. I do it for the fans.
Of course he did.
And I said, if this is a New York crowd, they'd be going, Butch! You know the next word. I said, seriously, dude? You came out with a Kiss coffin behind you. No.
Awesome.
We know you love it. You love the money, dude.
D, why does music suck now?
Okay. First of all, I don't think music sucks now, but I understand why you think music sucks now. And the reason why you think music sucks now is in order... Now, I've noticed particularly in the heavy music world.
Right.
Because that's what I love best. I think that in order to make the music their own, the younger generation has stripped away elements that their parents enjoyed.
Okay.
And grandparents. So with heavy music, the melody's gone. The straight beat is gone. The repetition, the hook, the chorus. I mean, my daughter's in a post-hardcore band, so I listen to a lot of stuff, and I enjoy it.
Is she really?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She's the actual singer in a hardcore band. So they got the screamer, and she sings.
Right.
But she's self-loathing. She hates women in bands, and she hates singing in bands. But she says women can't scream, so she has no choice. And they're actually doing Bamboozle on Saturday in New Jersey. When I fly home, I go straight to Bamboozle to see my daughter perform before like a... You know, big audience for the first time.
That's pretty amazing.
She's 15. Yeah, I'm really proud of her. But she likes, and I think my daughter deliberately likes this ultra non-melodic, non-rhythmic heavy music because it just goes completely against anything that dad listened to.
Right.
And I think that's why we think music sucks.
Right.
Because it has lost the semblance of music as we know it.
Okay.
What do you think of that theory?
Well, I still think that there are a lot of bands out there that suck. I'm not going to lie to you.
But there was always bands that suck.
Well, yeah, I know. I know. For every Twisted Sister, there's a Danger. I get it.
Oh, you said it.
Right. I get it. We could go down the list. That's the thing. People want to say that Nirvana and Soundgarden and all those bands killed the quote-unquote hair bands. But no, bad hair bands did it. Vane killed the hair bands.
Oh, exactly. Oh, no, we're in the same place.
Rocks
here.
Gang.
Oh,
killed
my
the
God.
Hair. Sea
oh, my.
Hags.
Pretty I mean, Boy Floyd.
We could go down the list of
Sleazebees.
Horrible. And meanwhile, those bands got record deals and Riot is unknown in America.
I know.
That's not right. And you were, did you know Mark? Mark Reale? He just passed. He's a guitar player.
I know. I knew the singer. That wasn't Reb. What was the singer's name?
Oh, the one before before
he
Reb?
Died years
Guy.
Reb. No, no.
Oh, Rhett
yeah,
Forrester.
Rhett Forrester, yeah.
Yeah.
He died, too.
Yeah, they both
very
died.
Very young, very young. Yeah. No, but, you know, that's the whole thing. Right. What happened is record companies killed hair metal. What they did was they had the early 80s, and you had Rat, and you had Motley, you had Twisted, you had Quiet Riot, you had great bands.
By the way, all bands who can still make a living doing that.
Yes.
So those bands didn't die. The bad ones died.
But the record industry has this theory. If one is good, 100 is better.
Creed of the week.
Exactly. So they try to figure out, well, what are they doing? And then formalize it. And by the late 80s, you had a certain producer.
Right.
Everybody was the same producer.
Bo Hill.
Not even Bo. I would go to
Spencer Proffer.
No, the one who did Bon Jovi and everybody else.
Bruce
Fairburn.
Yeah,
Fairburn. You got a certain costume designer,
right?
Fleur or Flo or whatever her name was. You got the video director de jour, the one everybody used.
Right.
You got the songwriter Desmond Childs would write with your team,
right?
And you would create the perfect hair metal moment.
Right.
And then somebody had a great idea. Let's unplug. Let's make what the bands were known for, being electric. Let's have them do acoustic now. So it went from hair metal, then it went to all power ballads, then it went to unplugged power ballads, and then along rolls in Nirvana and Soundgarden, who are awesome bands. Alice in Chains, these were metal bands, man.
Right.
And they put those unplugged BS hair bands to shame, and that's why we got wiped out.
But you didn't get wiped out because you're still around.
Oh, I know.
The good ones.
I'm still standing. Yes.
The good ones are still around.
Well, you know what? But they tried to kill us, and it got kind of dark there for a while for metal in the 90s.
Sure.
I mean, I felt like, you know, when I talk about this in my book.
Which is called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic.
Shut Up and Give Me the Mic, signing tonight at
Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe.
7 o'clock, and I am taking photos. Everybody will get a photo.
Cool.
And I won't leave until everybody gets a signature. So
that's awesome.
If you get there late because you think, oh, there's going to be a bunch of people there, don't get there late. Come on down. Because I'm moving on tomorrow, but tonight I'll be there all night.
Yeah, you were in Tucson last night, right?
This is my 12th day in a row, 12th signing.
No kidding.
So I've just been bouncing all over the country. And now I lost track of where we were going. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about...
We're talking about the fact that I wake up in the 90s.
Right.
And it's like I studied a form of medicine they found a cure for. Oh, cancer, we don't do that anymore. It's all better. What do you mean? What do you mean? I dedicated my life to singing a certain way, looking a certain way, performing a certain way, writing a certain way. And by 1995, they weren't doing that anymore.
Yeah, see, that was my answer. My answer is, why does music suck now? Because it's not dangerous anymore. Because they took all the rebelliousness and they took all the things. First of all, who plays rhythm guitar in Nickelback? Who cares?
But everybody, Ron, do you know who plays rhythm guitar in Nickelback? He hangs out with those guys.
Who cares?
Yes.
Everybody can name, or could back in the day, name everybody in Twisted Sister. You could name everybody in Iron Maiden. You could name everybody because they had character and they were rebels and they were dangerous. There was something there.
They were rock stars. And that's a problem too.
Right.
And I know where you're going with this and I agree. When I go to concerts all the time and I like a lot of new music. But I don't know who's in the damn band.
Right.
I'm talking to catering, and I'm thinking it's the lead singer from the band. It's not. Everybody looks like they just bagged my groceries.
Right.
Okay? It's in a day. When a band walked, B in the D, when the band walked in, you knew the band just walked in.
Right.
They floated in. They were, you know, they were larger than life. I think that's missing. I also think the middle finger's missing. The attitude.
Right.
The attitude that, you know, you know, up yours. We're going to have a good time.
But that's the pussification of America, D.
Yeah, too much whining and complaining.
Right.
We sound like a couple of old dudes.
A little bit. I don't care.
Are people out there going, yeah, D, yeah, Paul? Or are they going,
I don't care.
Listen to those two old dudes going.
Because you know why? Because I got a middle finger for them if you don't like it.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean,
greatest line ever written, Marilyn Manson. I wasn't born with enough middle fingers.
Right, there you go. Let's get these commercials out of the way. D. Snider joining us here, 93.3 KDKB. He's going to be at Changing Hands Bookstore tonight, 7 o'clock, signing his brand new book called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic. He's also the host of the House of Hair and case you didn't know that. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on the Valley's original rock station. We'll be back.
If you have a computer, we have a way for you to listen online. Head to kdkb.com.
That is everything right with rock right there. New Van Halen, live from the Tempe Autoplex Studios. Woo! In beautiful Mesa, Arizona. It's 93.3 KDKB.
Would have kept going, but he ran out of guitar neck.
That's unbelievable. Those guys are great. D. Snider is the voice you hear next to me right now. D. has got a brand new book out called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic. He'll be in Tempe tonight at Changing Hands Bookstore starting at 7 o'clock to sign said book. D., this is actually something you and I have been talking about music off the air and while the music's been going on. Obviously, Van Halen without Michael Anthony. Is it Van Halen? Is it every bit as Van Halen as Van Halen with Sammy Hagar? You know what I mean? If you can replace Dave with Sammy, can you replace Mike with Wolfgang?
Well, I'm a Sammy fan. I felt that Sammy Van Halen was a different Van Halen than Dave Van Halen.
Right.
You know, they call it Van Hagar. I thought it was great. It was equally great. It was like Sabbath Ozzy, Sabbath Dio.
Right, which brings us to Sabbath without Bill Ward now.
Now Bill Ward. Now that's a little weird. So, yeah, technically, you know, this is not an easy thing to answer. I always have this theory with Twisted.
Okay.
Because, you know, people say, you tell me, go out without Twisted. I go, it's not Twisted Sister. They go, yeah, but
well, you did the SMFs. You did that sort of Twisted cover thing.
But I wouldn't call it Twisted Sister.
Right.
I wouldn't call it Twisted. It wouldn't be cool to do that. And our rule is, unless you're dead, you should be there.
Right.
And bands say, oh, it's real hard, D. We can't get everybody together. We don't get along. You don't get along? Mark the Animal Mendoza showed up to the first reunion rehearsal with a gun.
For you?
I don't know. Walked in, pulled out a gun, put it on top of his amplifier, strapped on his bass, and said, okay, let's go.
No, right? That's not an exaggeration.
That's not swear to God.
Wow.
Okay, so don't tell me it's tough to put your original band together, okay? So, yeah, I feel bad that Michael Anthony's not there. But I think it's still when you got most of the guys like that,
right?
You know, and I hate to see that Bill Ward's not there.
Well, you've just been made aware of this today. For those of a lot of people may not be aware of this, Bill Ward and Black Sabbath have been going on with like a contract dispute. As you know, this is a business. You guys are artists and you love the passion of the music, but it's the music business.
Of course, but I just saw on House of Hair online the website houseofhaironline.com. It said Bill Ward is back in Black Sabbath, and you just told me he's out again.
Well, they got this picture up on the website. Bill released a press release a couple of days ago saying they couldn't come to contractual terms, and he's not going to be playing at the show in Birmingham this weekend, and he's not going to be playing at Lollapalooza. This is what he said on his website. Now, today, a la Van Halen, you go to Black Sabbath's website online, and they have photoshopped out Bill Ward from all the pictures of the band.
It's not even that good. They just folded the...
Yeah.
And they put a picture of Vinnie Appice in there.
Right.
Is it Appice or Appice?
Appice. Carmine Appice, Vinnie Appice. I don't know why they do that.
Now, wait a minute.
So you're not supposed to know they're the same guys.
I grew up on Beck, Bogart, and Appice.
Right.
I was with Carmine at the airport the other day. He said, I'm putting Beck, Bogart, and Appice back together, which I'm not doing. Right. But anyway, he said Appice.
But then he said Appice earlier, and Vinnie was Appice.
I think they're confused. And they're brothers.
Right. So they're the same guy, essentially, with the same mustache.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Either way, they're great drummers. Both of them are great drummers.
So,
Vinny said he won't do the Black Sabbath thing. So who do you get now?
They'll get somebody else. He'll get, you know,
Mike Borden.
Yeah, from Faith No More. Yeah. Great drummer. Sharon's got no shame.
Do you think this is a Sharon thing?
I don't know if it's true. So this is hearsay.
Okay.
This is Bill's side, but did you hear some of the demands?
I did not.
That were in his contract?
I did not. Can you divulge any of what you have heard?
It was on. I saw it on a House of Hair website.
No, you're a
Bill had
master.
To walk the dogs.
Walk what dogs?
Bill is claiming he had to walk Ozzy's dogs
as
part of his deal. I am not kidding you.
Well, there's that middle finger we were talking about. There's that middle finger.
Here it comes again.
No
way. There was a whole bunch of weird things, and that's what Bill's saying is in his contract, that it was absolutely insulting to him. And
I would be insulted too.
But we haven't seen the paper. It just seems so inconceivable.
Well, ask yourself this question. In what world does Bill Ward have to lie? Like, is Bill Ward's not one of those guys that has to make up a story? He's Bill Ward. He's not like a big... I don't know the man, obviously, but I don't know any stories of him being egotistical enough to make up some sort of a falsehood to sort of justify his position in the band.
That is very true. And if you're going to make up a lie, is that the one you pull out of your hat?
Exactly.
Sharon told me I had to walk the dogs.
Right.
It does sound kind of Sharonish.
It does. Well,
Sharonish too.
Remember, she's the one that pulled Lee Kerslake and Bob Daisley off those first two Ozzy records out of spite too.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I mean, she's a tough chick. And boy, she can go at you too.
For a second, you're becoming a little bit more diplomatic there because you know she knows people that can have you killed.
Hey, I know people too. All right, I know people too. No, she went after me one time. It's like, D, how are you? Good to see you. She's the sweetest pie. And then
she became a Jew there for a second. You're like a girl from Long Island.
And then it went in. And then I said in an interview in a newspaper that they had optioned that we had had Snyders of Great Neck. Optioned,
which was a TV show that you were going to do
with my actual family before the Osbournes.
Right.
She mother effed me like crazy.
Right.
That son of a bitch. I mean, and she went on a Stern show. She was just tearing me to shreds. Like, whoa, easy. I thought we were friends. I wasn't putting down your show. They asked me a question.
Wow.
You know, so she can go.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if that's a fact about Bill. But again, back to that, it's the majority of the band. It's, you know, you got Geezer, you got Ozzy, you got Tony, you know, so I think it's still Sabbath. Now, Rose and Roses, that's another deal entirely.
You don't get me started on this thing here. To me, I wouldn't have a problem if he called the band like you did with your project, SMFs.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Twisted Sister.
Call it Night Train, baby. Call it something like that.
Yeah, call it War, W. Axl Rose, whatever you want to call it. Call it anything but Guns N' Roses, because as you already pointed out, there's a certain loyalty to the brand and what he has done is tarnishing the brand.
And when you got people like Duff and Slash, you know, I mean, you got really identifiable characters in that. It makes me pissed off.
Does it really?
Yeah, you know. Oh, I shouldn't say that in this town, I don't think.
All right, fine.
Oh, here I go. I'm saying it.
Here it goes.
But you may notice on the radio show, I'm very, very distinct, specific about Alice Cooper and the original Alice Cooper band.
Right.
Because I'm an original Alice Cooper band. I'm a fan of Alice, but people have forgotten the band.
Right.
And I just think that's wrong.
Well, I think it was good that he put the band back together last year and did, you know,
for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right. I think
that was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do. And what the Chili Peppers did, where they inducted everybody that was in the band, got to come in. They all got in. If you were part of the band's history, you're in.
And that's the right thing to do. And Axl Rose should have swallowed his pride or whatever's going on and say, you know, I don't even like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but still, it was a moment of acknowledgement of a great freaking period of time,
right,
where five guys did some damage. I think they changed the world musically.
Sure. No, they were the last great American rock band.
Yeah. And just I don't know, suck it up and just get out there. And you don't have to play. Just step up and receive your award.
Right.
And acknowledge, yeah, we hate each other's guts, but we had a few good years of marriage. You know, I don't know. I was as a fan, and again, I'm a fan.
Right.
It offends me.
Now, we're getting to that point now where you and your peers are now becoming eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who of your peers, and Twisted Sister not excluded, who deserves to be acknowledged as being one of those bands without whom music wouldn't be where it is today, that has changed music? Because I think that's the criteria. You have to be a band that had such an impact, a profound impact on music, that you're undeniable. There are bands, a lot of the doo-wop bands from the 50s, whom I love, but who only had one parenthetical hit. And they're getting inducted, the Moonglows and all these other bands that are going in. Meanwhile, how is, not that it's not rock and roll, but how is Barry Manilow not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? The guy wrote the theme to American Bandstand.
It's not rock and roll.
Well, there's a lot of bands
I don't think Madonna should be there. I hate the Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame. Right.
But okay.
But if you're going to put them in.
I don't think we deserve to be in.
You don't think Twisted Sister deserves to be in? No, we do not. Okay.
It's just not enough catalog. It just, you know, we've had our effect. And if you read my book, you'll see if you were from the Northeast,
right,
bands, we were the band in the Northeast before we had a deal.
Sure.
So your Bon Jovis, your Cinderellas, your Anthrax, your Overkill, they all stood in awe, Poison, have watched Twisted Sister and studied.
Right.
But at the same time, we're not deserving. But I think record sales should reflect value.
Well, then Kiss deserves to be in.
Kiss absolutely deserves. That's a sin. You're talking about, but my generation?
Yeah, your guys.
If you're going record sales, you're going catalog, Poison deserves to be in.
Okay.
Okay, I mean.
Brett lives here in the Valley. I'm sure he'll appreciate the endorsement.
And I sort of can't believe I just said that out loud. But the fact is, nobody's asked me before, and I'm being honest. I think that record sales should be reflected in inductions. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that Journey or Styx or Kiss or Rush have sold so many records
and
affected so many people. That matters. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has this attitude that they know better than everybody else. And you know who this is? This is Jan Hammer or whatever his name is from Rolling Stone,
right,
and the guy from Stiff Records. You know, so you get Velvet Underground,
right,
who sold 7 albums. And I love Velvet Underground.
Sure.
But they shouldn't be in there before Kiss. That's disgusting.
Well, Kiss blazed the trail for what you do. I mean, Kiss, Alice Cooper. I mean, go back to, I mean, we won't start name dropping, you know, obscure bands, Wizard and all those bands that sort of did the makeup thing all the way back to Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And the fact that there are a certain bit, Deep Purple, Cheap Trick.
Deep Purple. Okay, you're naming bands. But Rush. How do you not have Rush?
Thin Lizzy.
I'm not even a Rush fan. I'm not a non-Rush fan. I'm a Rush, like, early days.
Do you own a protractor?
What is a protractor?
You're not a Rush fan.
2112, you know, working man, fly by night. I'm like that Rush era.
Right.
But still, Rush, not in?
Right.
That's just arrogance on the part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's just snubbing. Rush, Kiss, all these great bands. Ted Nugent.
Right. One of the most underrated guitar players in rock history.
Oh, my God. I went to see Nugent. I never saw him in his prime. I saw him at when he was 50.
There are some that could say he's every bit as good as he was in his prime.
I saw him at 60.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, I can't imagine. I'd heard stories of you at 26.
Right.
And it was ungodly. And you're blowing my mind at 60.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Amazing.
Dee Snider is in town tonight. You got to take off, and it's almost 6 o'clock. You got to go do a Changing Hands bookstore?
Yes, Changing Hands. I just want your people to know, A, everybody will get signed.
That's
I'm not
awesome.
Going to cap the line. I mean, unless you start rolling in and the line's gone dead and you roll in the last minute. But even then, I can't say no. And everybody gets a picture. And if you bring down some of your old, whatever, Strangeland, Twisted, Widowmaker, whatever, you know, I sign within reason. I sign everything. So just bring it down. I'm glad to see you guys. I'm excited. It's my last day of my book tour. And then, like I said, I'm heading home to see my daughter kick some ass at Bamboozle.
That's going to be awesome. Now, yeah. Dee Snider, just for the record, did the horror movie thing with a rock star before Rob Zombie did it. Twisted Sister did it before Marilyn Manson. Twisted Sister did it before Slipknot. Twisted Sister did it before other. See, to me,
and I get respect from all those.
No,
guys.
No, but and that's the thing. See, to me, if you're one of those bands that took what Kiss did and what Alice Cooper did in the '60s and '70s, in the '80s, and brought it to a mainstream level on MTV. Remember, Twisted Sister, 1984 through 1987 or so, couldn't turn on MTV and go 25 minutes without seeing one of your videos. So to me, that has a profound impact on music, and that I believe of your generation, of your ilk of music, you should go.
Well, thank you.
I believe you should go because of that. If REM is in, you should be in. That's
well,
right.
All right.
No, you should. I
want you to add in there going to Washington. If you throw in,
well, yeah, and
going
there's
to
that
Washington,
too. I'm sorry, I left that over.
But I always thought, you know, that was, you know,
did
not to blow my own horn, but
right.
But I stood up, you know, and right. And no, not a lot of people were standing up. And
now you were the one who stood up. You stood up for Blackie Lawless. You stood up for Ozzy Osbourne.
AC/DC.
You stood up for AC/DC.
Motley Crue.
All these bands that were getting, you were the guy that went. No, everybody else could have done it, and you
well,
went and
they
you,
did,
you
they
put your balls
me.
On the table.
They asked me to go, and I seized the opportunity. I saw it like carrying the flag into battle. And I was kind of hung out to dry because people really, there was a sort of apathy to the whole thing. People didn't realize the significance. And you can read all about that in my book as
there
well. But this has been cool, man. But I hope we haven't been boring people to tears.
Well, you know, how often do I get a chance to have you come in the studio? You don't get that often. So I apologize if you didn't hear your Nickelback song over the past hour. But Dee Snider.
Don't worry. I guarantee you'll hear it 27 more times this week.
I was going to say, you'll hear it probably at 8:59 tomorrow night before the House of Hair.
Oh, no, you're pulling back the curtain, Paul.
Don't
do that.
And then again at 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning after House of Hair says goodnight. So, Dee Snider, thank you for coming by, man. It's always good to have you in.
Paul, absolutely awesome.
13 years is too long.
KB. Yeah. Sorry it's been so long, but I'm here.
All right, excellent. Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe. Go on down there. The signing starts at 7 o'clock. The book is kick-ass. It is called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic. Also, buy the D Does Broadway thing. That's the
I know
awesome.
It sounds crazy, but go check out the video from Mac the Knife.
It's on my Facebook page as well, and we'll get it put up on KDKB's Facebook page. Sunday on E!